This episode is sponsored by my Patreon supporters. Thank you so much to Christina N., Earl B., St. Peaches, Terrence C., thank you to Carlos C. and Bonkers. A huge thank you to Viden A., Jordan, Roman, Philip, Mona and Luna, Legion, Hannah M., Brizo, and Abby R. Thank you so much for being here. If you're interested in becoming a patron to help support the podcast, then head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Choose the tier that fits your interest and enjoy early access, exclusive episodes, and more. Remember, it's patreon.com/tabitabipod. Mabuhay, and welcome to Spooky Saturday, a segment of the podcast where I tell paranormal stories submitted by our listeners or explore haunted places in the Philippines. Today, we delve into a tragic incident that shook the nation, the Ozon Disco Fire. I'm your host and guide through the shadows, Ethan, telling you to settle down, my dear listeners, and let's begin. On March 18, 1996, a fire broke out at the renowned Ozon Disco in Quezon City, Philippines, before midnight, culminating in one of the worst nightclub tragedies in history. At least 162 individuals were killed in the fire, which left a stain in the country's memory. The Ozon Disco disaster is a haunting reminder of the disastrous repercussions that can result from insufficient safety precautions. The Ozon Disco was a famous student hangout in the mid-1990s. It was located on Timog Avenue, which was noted for its active nightlife scene. As the school year ended in March 1996, the club decided to take advantage of the celebratory atmosphere by throwing a promotional event. Students were celebrating the end of the academic year at the time, and Ozon Disco Club gave a 50% graduation discount for students. On that unfateful night, the Ozon Disco was crowded with an estimated 350 clients and 40 club personnel despite having a permitted occupancy limit of only 35 individuals. The majority of the attendees were high school and college students who were celebrating graduation and the end of the academic year. Sherilyn Bruan, a victim of the terrible nightclub tragedy, spoke with Esquire Mag about her terrifying experience. On the evening of March 18, Ms. Bruan was asked by a friend to hang out at Ozon Disco, and she was only 18 years old at the time. She brought two cousins with her, and they went to the crowded disco in Quezon City. Arriving early around 8 or 9 p.m., Ms. Bruan noticed that despite it being a Monday night, the place was already packed due to the graduation promo the club offered. They entered the club, squeezing through the multitudes of people, and found a spot near the bar, facing the dance floor. The atmosphere was chaotic, with a large number of people standing or dancing. As the night progressed, Ms. Bruan observed a spark on the ceiling near the DJ's booth, initially assuming it was a special effect. However, when the fire started spreading towards the ceiling above the dance floor, she realized something was terribly wrong. People began to panic, but many remained unaware of the danger. Realizing the severity of the situation, Ms. Bruan urged her friends to leave. In the ensuing chaos, they reached the first door and the long hallway, where a stampede ensued, causing Ms. Bruan to lose sight of her cousins and friends. Eyewitnesses and survivors later revealed that the security guards kept the door closed, mistakenly believing there was a riot inside. Tragically, the second door only opened inward, creating a deadly bottleneck for those trying to escape. In the midst of darkness, as the electrical systems failed, Ms. Bruan and the others inside struggled to find the exit and push the doors open. Finally, the doors gave way, but the rush of air created a backdraft, knocking everyone in the hallway to the floor. Ms. Bruan recalls hearing moans and cries of pain while mustering the determination to survive and make it outside. crawling over bodies, Miss Bruin eventually reached safety. She crossed the street and found a group of onlookers who directed her to seek medical attention. It was then that she noticed her severe burns and the remnants of her melted clothing. Miraculously, her cousins and friends also made it out alive, and they saw treatment at De Los Santos Medical Center, becoming the first victims from the Ozone tragedy to receive medical care. According to survivors' accounts, the catastrophe began with sparks flying inside the disc jockey's booth shortly before midnight. Initially, the attendees believed it was part of the DJ's planned spectacle, but soon smoke started filling the club. Within a matter of seconds, the disco's electrical systems failed and flames engulfed the premises. Many of the deceased were discovered along the hallway leading to the lone exit, resulting in a disturbing picture as bodies stacked up waist high. Following the incident, investigations revealed significant faults in the Ozone Disco's safety measures. Officials in Quezon City discovered that the emergency exit had been blocked by a new building door, rendering it inoperable. Furthermore, no proper fire escape had been constructed, increasing the potential for disaster. Following the tragedy, legal action was taken against those determined to be responsible for the loopholes in safety protocols, including individuals and government officials. 6 people associated with Westwood Entertainment, the company that operated Ozone Disco, were charged with reckless imprudence resulting in multiple homicides and multiple serious injuries. In 2001, Hermilo Ocampo, the president of Westwood Entertainment, and Ramon Nang, the corporation's treasurer, were found guilty and sentenced to 4 years in prison, as well as substantial fines. They were also obligated to compensate the relatives of the victims and the injured. The Quezon City government officials were not cleared either. In 2011, 12 officials were also accused of reckless imprudence which resulted in several homicides and serious injuries. They reportedly allowed Ozone Disco to get annual inspection certificate in 1995 despite the inadequacy and irregularity of the documents presented. 7 officials were found responsible in 2014 under the Philippines Anti-Graft and Corrupt Practices Law. In the aftermath of the disaster, reports and testimonials of paranormal activity began to surface. Many people claimed to have witnessed strange occurrences and had eerie feelings when driving through the former Ozone Disco site. Some claimed to have heard creepy whispers, disembodied voices, and cries for help reverberating through the air. Others have claimed seeing dark beings roaming the streets, dancing as though they were trapped in an eternal party. The surrounding environment is commonly described as dismal and threatening, leaving tourists apprehensive. Paranormal enthusiasts and curious people have visited the place throughout the years, hoping to catch or record evidence of peculiar happenings. Some believe that the agitated spirits of those who perished in the disaster are still roaming the earth, unable to find peace. And that is it for today's Spooky Saturday. I do hope you enjoyed listening to today's story. If you have your own paranormal encounters that you would like to share, or any haunted places you want me to tackle, please email us at officialtabitabipod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or if you want to help support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod, and for as little as $2 or $6, you can gain early access, listen to Patreon exclusive content, and more. Or you can always give me a tip through GCash, info will be listed on the description. Thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. This has been Ethan. Join me next time when we explore more haunted places in the Philippines. Bye!